Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
I'ma keep singing, okay? Because it's too damn Friday. Get ready. The sound is coming. It is happening right now. Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae and Mike Golick Jr., Janae Ogwumike, Chinenge Doinenna Ogwumike for that. You know, I'm going to keep saying that, especially this week. NBA Draft Week, big week in the NBA. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell, Pennzoil, Performance Lines. Now, free agency officially starts right now in the NBA. Which players are on the move, available? That's the question really of the day, question of the moment. And we're actually asking the same questions in the NFL kind of today, because per Adam Schefter, Taysom Hill moved to the starting roster, surprising all of us because we sort of expected Jameis Winston there. But, you know, NBA free agency, a move in the NFL, it just is crazy because we're at this intersection of sports news happening now. And I have a feeling we're going to get some Woj bombs.
I can only hope so, Chinee, because as we mentioned, the NBA free agent calendar is shrunk because of the way the calendar for the entire season has shrunk in here. But if they can somehow whittle into all of this some bits of free agency news and the trade news that we know we're waiting to hear right now, the staring contest between James Harden and the Rockets. That's what we really want to see here, right?
Yeah, it's going to take forever, though. I have a feeling that's going to be a long one. Like, that's one of those long breakups that it's like,
I was going to say, considering Anthony Davis isn't even signing yet, that they're saying he's going to wait before we expect him to re-sign with the Lakers. Like, if that situation, that looks like a certain marriage is taking a while, yeah, this Harden stuff's going to be a drag.
Speaking of marriages and breakups, I know I put you on the spot with some personal questions last week, but, like, here's a softball, okay? How are you now, like, in these streets? Like, are you more in the end zone these days? Are you in the friend zone? Because it's cuffing season. It's winter. Winter is coming.
It's cold up here.
So you're in the friend zone?
Yes.
In California, girls in the end zone. All the time. Let go. We in quarantine, though. We smart. But do you want to sort of play a little game?
Oh, wait. Hold on here. Think you just slide that in? Real slick-like? Like, we're not going to notice this?
Wait, what? Hey, don't clip. Don't we have something to do? End zone, friend zone?
No.
As millennials, one of the greatest triumphs in life is watching someone make it out of the friend zone. You're hoping, wishing.
You're strategizing.
And that's what we're going to try and do here this weekend. We want to get everyone ready for this weekend in the NFL.
End zone or friend zone.
Let you know who's going to end up in the friend zone or the end zone when it comes to this NFL Sunday.
Friend zone to the
end zone.
The out-and-out betrayal from Cliff is unbelievable.
He's showing me so much love. Thank you, Cliff. I got you. I will deliver.
The
deliver.
Content,
you
know, God it. Here at ESPN demands a sacrifice.
You can get some goods. Yeah, Cliff. I know the way to your heart. I got to buy your heart. I can do that.
What do we got for End Zone Friend Zone here? It's brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. All right, end zone or friend zone, we're going to look to the NFL weekend. Coming up here, tell you which teams, which players are going to find their way into the end zone or stuck in the icy cold Connecticut version of the friend zone. Now, Janae, first up this weekend.
Falcons at Saints.
Falcons at Saints here, the aforementioned matchup where Taysom Hill will be the starting quarterback, at least as being reported by our own Diana Russini. We know it's been not necessarily confirmed by Sean Payton publicly, but Chanae, end zone, friend zone, Saints, Falcons, who you got?
Yeah, I think Sean Payton, he made a bold move at the quarterback position, benching Jameis Winston, no snaps as a starter, you know, this week in preparation, which means I think even though that's a bold move, they're going to probably simplify, I think, their playbook. And that only plays to Alvin Kamara's favor, especially going up against the Falcons. So I'm going to put Alvin Kamara in the end zone this weekend.
And I think a lot of fantasy fans would be hoping for that. Alvin Kamara, who I know has had not practiced all of this week, and so hoping that he shows up healthy enough to support this cause on Sunday, and we expect that to be the case, Janae. Because we're going to need him in the end zone for you. And you're going to need all the help you can get because the friend zone for me, anyone facing off against Taysom Hill in fantasy this weekend. So
that's me, of course, the way things work. That is me.
What happened this weekend in ESPN Fantasy and in FanDuel Daily Fantasy, Taysom Hill has been given tight end eligibility, which means his points are all going to count for your tight end spot. Matthew Berry, our ESPN fantasy expert, has him as the number one ranked tight end this week. I think Drew Brees has averaged something like 18 fantasy points a game this year, which would have him the second ranked tight end. So if he somehow wasn't already picked up, someone's got a gold mine. And Chanae, I think you're going up against Taysom Hill this weekend.
I'm going up against Taysom. That's how it's worked for me this season. I don't know why you asked me to play fantasy. Like, I hate it. I'm 2-8. I'm coming off a win, and then all of a sudden, life comes at you fast. How about this? Come up next. What's coming up next?
Titans at Ravens.
Titans at Ravens. Lamar Jackson taking a lot of criticism for the way he's performed over the course of this season. The rain game against the Patriots last weekend didn't help at all. So Titans, Ravens, Chinee, end zone, friend zone. Who you got here?
I don't know. I feel like it's like the Ravens are due for a good game by their weapons. And I think there's a lot of criticism coming because they've not been able to match that status of last season. So I think at some point the dam's going to break. Hollywood Brown, Mark Andrews, Mark Ingram, I feel like they're struggling in a way that a lot of people have keyed in on Lamar's success, and it sort of has hurt them. But I feel like the tide is turning, even though it is against the Titans.
It is going to be interesting, Chinee. And the Titans, certainly, without Taylor Lewan, their left tackle, that offense has looked different since his departure. He's one of the best in the league. Courtesy of our fine ESPN fantasy department here, this was interesting to me. The last time these two teams faced, Derrick Henry ran for 195 yards in that playoff win that the Titans upset them in. And now going into this week, the Ravens may be without Brandon Williams, their star defensive tackle. And in seven games without him, they've given up an average of 165.1 rushing yards per game. So I'm going to go Derrick Henry firmly planted in the end zone on this one.
Yeah, outscore our Ravens. Try to just outscore.
Packers at Colts.
This is a big one, Chinee. We talk about the NFC hierarchy and what this picture looks like. The Green Bay Packers going up against the Indianapolis Colts, one of the best defenses in the league, as the Packers try and remain relevant in the top end of this NFC playoff picture. End zone or friend zone, who you got here?
The theme ever since the Hail Murray, which he's trying to get the money on, right, has been who are the best like quarterback wide receiver tandems? And I'm going to put in the end zone Davante Adams just because he's in that top three for me. He's the first player in the Super Bowl era with 50 or more catches, 600-plus receiving yards, and at least 8 touchdowns in his first 6 games of the season. And he's missed some games, I believe. So, like, yeah, end zone there.
End zone there. You know what? I was actually going to stick in the Packers wide receiver room as well in general, because this is going to be the second top three defense per ESPN's FPI that the Packers have faced. And they got whooped up front by Tampa Bay in that outfit there. But now they've gotten healthier. David Bakhtiari is well paid and back in the lineup at left tackle. And Alan Lazard comes off injured reserve here for the stretch run of the season. You remember before he went on that, the last we saw of him was week 3. He had 6 catches for 146 yards and a touchdown against the New Orleans Saints defense that has looked great lately. So coming back off here now, back off injury, the way Davante Adams has commanded attention, I think they could both eat this weekend, and I like the Packers to get a big statement win over a stout Colts defense. What's the last one here, Cliff?
Chiefs at Raiders.
And speaking of statement win, I'm taking the Chiefs in the end zone, all of them. You get a touchdown, you get a touchdown, because the Chiefs, I feel like they know that this is the one loss on their season. And I think, didn't like the Raiders sort of like do that victory type of lap after they beat them last time? Plus, yeah. I believe 11 Raiders are currently placed on the COVID-19 list, and a number of them are defensive. So it's going to be tough for them to sort of recreate history from this past season. But I think the Chiefs are going to go like, heard you.
I like this, Chinee. I agree with you. And so I'm going to say friend zone Vegas. And not just this Vegas, but actual Vegas. Up until this point, Las Vegas was 5-0 against the spread in the last 5 games against AFC West opponents in this division. We know what a stranglehold the Chiefs have had. Right now, I'm seeing 6.5 for that number. I like the Chiefs to cover that at this point. I think especially after what happened earlier this season, coupled with some of the defensive volatility that we're going to see, I think you get over a touchdown win here by the Kansas City Chiefs, and they take down Vegas twice in one go on this one.
Make your money.
By the way, last one, end zone or friend zone. So who is your man now? You just like going to casually take yourself off the market at the beginning of this segment and say
Thank
that
you.
You're in the end zone now. So we need answers around here. This show family's caught off guard.
No, I didn't claim any of that. Go look at the tapes. We'll look in the break at the tapes. I never said that. I just said things are popping out here in a very safe manner.
Interesting. Safely
popping.
We're going to have to explore this a little bit more, because I'm not exactly sure I buy what is being sold right now. Chinee Agwumike out here, I thought, with me team single and all this as we were trying to work through this show and find our way. It doesn't sound like that the way you're talking about that.
You see my hands? No jewelry.
But
I'm not like Gucci.
There might be some cuffing going on out here, and so we're going to have to explore that. Because coming up next,
oh gosh,
one NFL team is looking to cuff their quarterback for the very near future. Is it the right decision? We'll get to that next. It's Chinee Agwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Love it.
Chinee Agwumike Jr., the podcast.
What's up? Oh, I forgot where I'm at. Cuffing season. Quarterbacks are out here in the NFL, and they're getting cuffed. Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. I love Gucci. It's like, brr. Chanae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell, Pennzoil, Performance Lines. Now, I have a question based on, you know, we're coming off the heels of the Jeezy Gucci Mane battle, and I have a really interesting question that maybe we'll flesh it out for another day, but we will for sure ask our guest this in about 10 minutes. Which rapper or musician can be the best pro athlete? 2 Chainz is like a top pick amongst a lot of people, and maybe one day we'll get it, like, flesh it out in conversation. But do you have like any immediate thoughts, Junior?
You know what? I always remember seeing, like, obviously Nelly in The Longest Yard was in that role, but like we've seen him in the All-Star game when it was in St. Louis for Major League Baseball, the Celebrity All-Star game for that. Mm-hmm. He always seemed like a guy with a good athletic background and that, well built and all that, stays in shape.
Yeah, I go J. Cole, Chris Brown, they can really hoop. They can really hoop. But it's been funny, you know, as we think about coming off the versus battle. Now we're having like a versus battle when it comes to the Saints in the quarterback position. And it seems like Taysom Hill has really won that. And so what say you about this? Like, are you feeling good about this, that the Saints have sort of weighed in and they believe in this guy so much, but now we're sort of hurt for Jameis? Like, where are you feeling good, like, at the direction that they're heading?
Chanae, I'm uncertain about it because we've all been uncertain about it, right? Like, I think this is the inflection point of an argument that's been brewing for a while online. Is Sean Payton will put in Taysom Hill into a lot of situations for the Saints in an offense that features a Hall of Fame quarterback, and we've always been confused by it. So really, the more and more I think about it, I'm excited because now we've been talking about this in hypotheticals and small sample sizes for so long. We're going to hopefully get an entire game of Taysom Hill playing starting quarterback, and I'm not rooting against the guy at all. Okay. I've been one that's looked at this situation and said I'm a bit baffled by it because you've got a great quarterback and the way they use him kind of disrupts rhythm. That doesn't mean I'm rooting against Taysom Hill in this. I don't know why you're smirking at me like you think I am.
Okay, Devin and Cliff, please confirm this. Didn't he say, like, get rid of the Taysom Hill package a couple of times? Now, I get it.
Is that, like, what I sound like?
Huh? I mean, sort of, kind of, when you were like, you were in your feelings. Confirmed that he said these things before.
Listen, I mean, I think we were all a little shocked of the news that Winston was not going to be the starter. I actually had to remove a promo that I made earlier last week about, you know, how we're finally going to get a look at Winston that Mike said, don't want to put you on blast, Mike, but I guess I just did.
This has been a tough day.
Sorry. No, it has been a rough day for you. It really has. But, you know, when I'm thinking about this big scenario here, I think if you're going to invest at least $20 million compared to your backup at $1 million, you might as well get your money's worth. But, you know, when we think about this here, do you think that the Saints really will augment that by leaning more on Kamara? Or do you think that this is going to be like, okay, we know exactly what we can do. We can utilize him in a variety of ways. Or do you think it's less and more?
I think I know exactly what this is. And I think I know just the way we can tell you.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
Chanae, I think this is about belief and wanting what you haven't had for a while, because Sean Payton is an offensive innovator. What him and Drew Brees have done in New Orleans together has built an offense that is unique all its own and has been so effective. One of the most effective in all the NFL. But Sean Payton also has eyes and can see what's going on around the rest of the league, and he sees what having a quarterback that can move around does for you. It's quite frankly what Bill Belichick and the Patriots, remember when Cam Newton showed up in Foxborough and said, there are going to be things that we can do in this offense that they have not been able to do before. And that's not a slight or disrespect to Tom Brady, it's just a reality of the situation. So I look at this and say, man, this is Sean Payton kind of getting to flex muscles that he hasn't gotten to use in this modern NFL with a quarterback that can move around in the ways he's used him in these small sample sizes and show that his faith in Taysom Hill and what they've had going on there is well served when we can get this on a larger sample size. So I think a lot of those are the reasons, coupled with knowing we've got 3 weeks we're going to be without Drew Brees. We can figure out in that time period what the best solution is. Because remember, Teddy Bridgewater had been in New Orleans for a season already, sitting behind the scenes as a backup learning there. Jameis got here in this offseason, a strange and abbreviated one, and has come in here now in a team that Taysom Hill has already known and been familiar with in all those ways. So you combine all that together, and much like gravy, it can also be a soup. A soup that leads you to Taysom Hill as your starting quarterback.
Gravy is not a soup one. And I want to lean into this because I think we haven't even addressed this yet. Per your estimation, if you're Coach Payton, what are the strengths that you want to see on display from Taysom Hill by moving him to quarterback?
Well, I think you want to see just that movement. Like, Taysom Hill's whole appeal has been being able to run read option stuff with him, moving around your team and taking advantage of his otherworldly athleticism. He put up big-time numbers. I believe it was his junior season, his second-to-last season in college at BYU, both as a rusher and as a passer. Elite stuff in the world of college football. So he's got that potential, at least from what you've seen. But he's a 30-year-old quarterback who's played a jack-of-all-trades role for this team. And so I think that's what they're hoping to see, is a different level of what you can do to defenses, Chinne, when your quarterback is a run threat, when they've got to be concerned with him on each and every down, when all of a sudden linebackers, defensive ends, have to check up for a split second longer. And you know this, at the professional level in any sport, speed kills. And the minute you have to think for a little longer than normal, all of a sudden the offense is at tremendous advantage. And with all the weapons around them getting healthier, I'm sure Sean Payton thinks there might be no time like the present to maybe take the training wheels off this thing and do it for real.
And if this experiment goes bad, what concerns are you worried about with Taysom? And also, what would that mean, the greater implications, if he does sort of struggle and fail in a great way?
I think it would be a tough pill to swallow for them, but I mean, what the ultimate antidote they have behind that is a quarterback in Jameis Winston, who is still sitting there and who, if pressed into duty, is a guy who's played high-level NFL football at times. We've also seen him give the ball away, but again, in this offense, the group around him, I mean, he had a very talented group around him in Tampa Bay, but it would be a limited window where you hope to just get more of the good Jameis than the bad, where you get more of the boom than the bust that's always come with him, and I feel like you'd have a better shot of that in a 2 to 3 week sample size before you get Drew Brees back. So it's a tightly contested NFC right now at the top of all this, so it's not to say you can give away a game, but you've got two of your next four against the Atlanta Falcons, including this one. So a soft-ish landing spot for this to go on as you try and make sure you've got the best out there and the best foot forward until Drew Brees gets back.
And you know what's funny? We play the age game a lot. Like, Tom Brady, 43, Drew Brees, 41. Do you think that this is, like, the move for the future? Like, they hope that the best-case scenario, Taysom is that guy?
I think they would like to, right? Like, he's been in your building for such a long time. It helped,
what's
and that was
gut?
Why...
Junior, what's your gut?
What's my gut say? That he's not the long-term guy. I don't think he's the long-term solution there. That's what my gut says.
I mean, I know. And I guess my whole point is, like, I think it's a scenario that it sort of feels, with so much pressure and scrutiny and then the financials, it feels like in some ways it could be destined to fail. Even if it's not now, it's for the, you know, immediate future, a couple years down the line. I don't know if this is what you want, but it's what they've got.
And for the Saints, selfishly in this, Chinne, either way, they can get an answer in all this, and they can start to get enough information to make those long-term solutions and long-term commitments.
Chinne and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We're still here. We are back. And after our last segment, we had to go straight to the Louisville-Syracuse game. That came quick, but we plow ahead. Chinne and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chinne Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Penzel Performance Lines. Now, in about 10 minutes, we will keep that same energy. And in that spirit, I'm so excited to be joined right now by Clinton Yates of the Undefeated on the Shell Penzel Performance Line, who is here to talk about his latest feature all over ESPN Plus, called The All-Around Game of 2 Chainz. This is one of my favorite people at ESPN. You can watch him right now on ESPN Plus Live on our interview. But before we get to all of your piece and the greatness that was, can you please weigh in on the Jeezy Gucci Mane moment for the culture from last night?
Yo, okay, so there's a couple things. Number one, I'm really, really glad it happened. For those of us that are in the so icy watershed of music in terms of club bangers from back in the day, seeing those two come together to do that song after what we thought was what just call a dangerous situation evolved, it was a good moment. Look, you can say what you want about Magic City. You can say what you want about their beef. You can say what you want about how hard they went. They came together and they did the banger, which is a hip-hop history moment in 2020. That's all that matters to me.
And that's been the best part about, I think, a lot of these verses, is it's a time and a place thing, like you mentioned. And so we all get to kind of go back and relive that. But to see people coming together at this time is important. And it's interesting. This is all happening right now. And Clinton, as we look at the piece you did here, and again, the All-Around Game of 2 Chainz is a piece up on the Undefeated as well as a piece, 2 Chainz Full Circle, you can check out on ESPN+. And we were talking about this off-air, Clinton. This all happened way back in February. So this was the last thing that you actually did before life as we know it changed in the pandemic. Take us back to that time.
I know, right? It's so weird. I was looking back through my old pictures. I tweeted some of the behind-the-scenes stuff just for the sake of giving people sort of a rounded-out view of what was happening. And, you know, we shot our sit-down at North Clayton High School, which is just like any other high school in America. But another one of the things we did was we went to his basketball camp tournament, if you will, right before Christmas. And for me, that was one of the most fulfilling experiences I've had in a long time. You know, for those who don't really know, the sort of basketball camp experience or the tournament experience is one of like ground zero of black and hip hop culture on a certain level, particularly in Atlanta. So you got a bunch of kids out there. Can you imagine showing up at a tournament where 2 Chainz was going to be there with your 11-year-old buddy, and you get to pick your team name and you get to play with him in front of all those people and in front of your family? Like, it was just cool. And that kind of vibe to me is something that I tried my best to indicate was a large part of why he does a lot of this. It's not just about free sneakers or free jerseys or maybe getting seen by somebody. It's that communal setup that, Janae, I know you know about. When you out at the courts, you know what I'm saying, yep, with the people you love, it's more fun to play and the music's going, everybody's dancing, maybe you get your mom or your dad out the crowd and so on and so forth. It was really, really cool, Mike. So that was the best part about it for me. Never mind going to see him perform later down the line a couple months later at a playhouse. So it was a tight experience all around for sure, and something that I'm going to look back on fondly now that we can't even touch each other out in the street.
Yeah, and that community experience that you mentioned, that's what this is all about. Clinton's piece tells the story of 2 Chainz, known and renowned rapper, being recruited as a Division I basketball player, the life instances, moments, a decision that led him from the court to where he is now, and everything that he learned along the way. And Chiney, Clinton just mentioned it is that community vibe around someone coming up in the basketball court the way that he did in all this and managed to find success elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's interesting, Clinton? I'm thinking about this, and I sort of posed the question that we're probably going to do on another day. Like, which musician or rapper could also be a pro athlete? And like, at the top of the list, you got J. Cole, you got 2 Chainz. So for those who may not be familiar with 2 Chainz, can you sort of give us the background and his love for the game?
His background is that he was basically just a basketball player coming up in College Park, Georgia. And for those of you who know College Park, you know, it's basically a sort of a black suburb of, you know, Atlanta in certain ways. There's a lot of famous people from College Park, but he played for the North Clayton Eagles, and he was a pretty good player. He was a D1 recruit. He ends up getting, I'll just say popped, for lack of a better term, for drugs that ends up kicking him out of high school. And basically everybody in his family, all his teachers in the school community, came around a character witness for him to say, hey man, this kid's okay, he made a mistake. Now what happened as a result is that most of the D1 offers ended up going away, but he ended up getting recruited by some HBCUs, and he ends up at Alabama State. The comparison we make in the story is that Memphis had looked at him lightweight as a backup for Penny Hardaway. He was a guard that had a little, you know, a little range outside. He was a taller player, you know, pretty good slasher as far as I'm concerned, you know, and that was what his game was. Now, look, you can say what you want about whether or not athletes would have been pros or this, that, and the third, but, I mean, he played D1 college basketball. That actually happened. So, you know, whether or not you want to argue with him or not about his average points per games, who knows? Different coaches, different playing styles, God knows what. But Chainz could ball. I mean, we played horse. We both threw up a lot of bricks. I can't remember who won. If I'd won, I would have remembered. But, you know, the guy can shoot, and what's funny about him is that he says 2 Chainz every time he puts it up. So that would make it.
I was dying watching that video of just seeing him. It was so natural, just 2 Chainz and just throw it up right there. It's unbelievable.
Exactly.
And speaking of that video, you guys can all check it out. The all-around game of 2 Chainz on ESPN Plus. Clinton Yates of The Undefeated here with us right now, and Chiney Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio. Now, it's really interesting when we're thinking about this in the big picture, because we see him as a musician and the artist. We're now getting to know his background, but you got to actually spend time with him in a time where we don't get to spend time with many people. What do you take away from that experience that you think is poignant for people to really learn and understand?
Well, I think one of the things that's difficult for people to understand is that for a lot of black folks in America, being a rapper or being like a famous ball player doesn't mean that you're like some non-real person or that you were some outrageous prodigy that was never connected to anything outside of what you do and what people know you for. You go to the high school, you go wherever with him, people know him just because they know him from around where they know his life and who he was as he was coming up. And that was very important for me to indicate to people. This was not some poverty porn situation where he was plucked out of God knows what in some terrible scenario. He has got a mama. She was working hard to try to keep food on his plate and clothes on his back. And he had a school full of people that he was trying to, you know, help as well as they were trying to help him. People think that we all come from these crazy scenarios where everything is so hectic and so on and so forth. Nah, man, this was just another the school community outside of Atlanta where everybody knows everybody because everybody's trying to do the same thing, you know, which is keep your head up. And so for me, seeing him communicate with people around the school, seeing him communicate with people around the community and around, you know, shows and stuff like that, it was just really cool, man. He's a normal person. He happens to be super rich. He happens to have a lot of bangers. Jumper happens to be a little wet, you know what I'm saying? But other than that, he's just another brother that reminds me of a lot of people I know from my block from various walks of life.
Clinton Yates with us here, writer for The Undefeated on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinea Gwumake, now Clinton with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Clinton, of that, you mentioned. Clinton, of all the people I know here at ESPN, you are one of the most fashion-forward. You take bold risks when you're on air, and I appreciate the different outfits that you bring to certain situations.
Thank you.
2 Chainz is that on a completely different level. Like, how? What is it like being in a room? You mentioned everybody knows him, but it still feels like there's an aura because he does things that most of us can't dream of pulling off when it comes to the
like
fits and different
2 Chainz.
Things.
Yeah.
First of all, yes. And let me tell you this. This was not the first time I'd actually sat down with 2 Chainz, and that helped a lot, Mike.
Flex.
Basically, about a year and a half ago at CIAA, we did an interview backstage that was kind of like the cool guy one. He was getting ready to go on stage. He was wearing his performance stuff. I knew I was going to be there, so I wore my fly stuff. This time, we were at his high school talking about his old life. So it was grown folks gear time at that point. Full pair of pants, might as well mix in a shirt with a collar on. He did the same. You know what I mean? He was iced out. You know, the bling was there, but he wasn't stunting on anybody, making him look super stupid. But, you know, that was the fun part. I had some prep, so I knew to come correct, but not to go too crazy and not embarrass myself, because that would have been weird if I showed up looking like I was going to a concert when, in fact, I was sitting to talk to a grown man about his actual life. And I'm a grown man, too, so I tried to dress like one.
Grown man business going on there that you can check out, that you can read at The Undefeated, the all-around game of 2 Chainz. Check out on ESPN Plus with 2 Chainz, Full Circle. All great stuff, as always. Clinton, we appreciate the time and the look at this, man. Really cool stuff. Glad we could be a part showing more.
No problem. And never underrate Shaquille O'Neal's rap career. He went platinum for a reason because my man can actually rap. I'll see y'all later. Love the show.
And throw Dame in there, too.
Clinton Yates with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with a dismount for the ages. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance with more than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. I'm so glad he mentioned that because that would have been the most intimidating part for me is going in there and not knowing what you can actually wear. Like, I feel like you've got to be overwhelmingly yourself because 2 Chainz himself just walks around naturally looking way cooler than everyone else.
I have no problems with that department, so that's on you, boo-boo.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Those are personal problems that I don't need to bring to the rest of the class here. Again, check that out. The Undefeated, the all-around game of 2 Chainz, the rapper that could have ended up as just another one-hit wonder, but his community didn't let that happen. And also, check out the video piece on ESPN+.
And coming up next, we're going to do something we didn't do already right now. That's next on Chinea Gwumake Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Chinea and Gwumake Jr., the podcast.
That was very classy, Mike Gold Jr. We did not forget. We are always dancing on Fridays. It is too damn Friday. We are not breaking tradition, okay? But part of our tradition is showing love to so many people. Thigh Day, Friday. Every day is Thigh Day for you, actually, not just Fridays. Not breaking tradition of showing love to our family. Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst, who broke down the Saints' move to start Taysom Hill. Clinton Yates, who we just had so much fun with, of The Undefeated, who has a great piece on 2 Chainz on The Undefeated and also on ESPN+. It's been a good day. It's been a crazy day, but we're still here, Junior, and you can check out all those conversations if you have time on the weekend on Chinea and Gwumake Jr. podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, please.
Make sure you check all that out. We need to get to a very important poll update here in a second. But for anyone that couldn't see me on ESPN Plus there, I defaulted to what I always do when we get this. As we mentioned, Friday around here, too damn Friday, getting buck, dancing. It's all a good time, and we enjoy it here. And I decided to try something out. I decided to try to Millie Rock, which is apparently something that Cliff does not think I do very well. Cliff would like to rate my ability to Millie Rock right now in a day where I've already taken a lot of slander. So what do we got here, Cliff?
For you, my man, your Millie Rock is actually better than expected. I give you an 8.5 out of 10 on your Millie Rock. It was kind of sturdy a little bit. I'm not even going to hold you.
Can I have it right loose. Now, it's kind of sturdy. Music? I want to see it.
What, the Millie Rock?
All right, see it,
hold on, let me find the instrumental. And then y'all just keep talking.
Let's get the instrumental here again, and I'll get it back for you, because I don't want to, half bleep this. I want to full bleep this, if you're looking at it. I bleep myself.
That's the energy we need.
Sorry, guys, we don't have the instrumental for the Millie Rock. Right, I thought we had it. I'm sorry.
It would fall many degrees in my eyes of sturdiness without the music.
Exactly. We want to keep it very sturdy, like we did with our poll at ESPN Radio. Less than a week away from Thanksgiving, and we needed your help setting a turkey day debate on this edition of Chenea and Golic Jr.'s Weekend Preview. What is the best Thanksgiving pie? And with 43.5% of the vote,
it's cooked.
Pumpkin wins over apple, pecan, or other. As the write-in of the weekend preview is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com for geico.com today. Chenea, I know you're a little bit miffed about the way this poll went.
Yeah, so like we can't even do a poll right. All right. We can't do a poll right. We didn't put sweet potato. It would have been a landslide, a sweep, if we put sweet potato pie on there.
I just want to.
The mentions, the streets, aka the mentions, are showing sweet potato pie some love. And let's keep that same energy, Cliff.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chenea and Golic Jr.
You know when they say when you...
You can really react to this.
When you see lightning and then hear thunder, that count in between is how many miles away it is. When you hear us mention energy and then hear the drop, that's how interested in the show Cliff is that day.
he's just mad at your takes, man. Your food takes.
I'm locked in. Like my hand just wasn't on the mouse. I wasn't trying to cause any errors or anything like that. Wait, jeez.
Keep Cliff on the camera if you're watching on ESPN Plus. Cliff came in with a straight cuff and season coat. Shout out to Cliff. Look at keeping it classy. I see you with the braids up, looking tight. Seen a barber recently. I'm gonna show you some love right now, Cliff.
Shout out to.
I appreciate you, yo.
Shout out to Full TV on Radio right here on Chenea and Golic Jr. Michael and Jr. Chenea and Golic. You did a great job of it.
Thank you.
We're leaning into our visual medium, and that's fine because we're going to do it again right here. Last night, Chenea, as we had Thursday Night Football going on, we also had it in the college ranks. Tulane and Tulsa were battling in a game that went to double overtime until Tulsa hit him with the walk-off in something that looked and sounded like this.
I have a feeling they're going to get the ball out of his hands quick with this five-up look. Pratt gonna throw. Pratt pressured. It is picked off by Zaven Collins. And the player we debuted at the beginning of the game is gonna end it for Tulsa in double overtime. Tulsa, double digit comeback. Book it. The Golden Hurricane has blown in again. And they will win in an all time thriller.
We need all the sounds for that call. You, Matt Barry,
incredible. Chris Budden with us on the broadcast as well. Would be remiss if I didn't mention her, but you heard Matt Barry showing love to Book It on that one. And Tulsa getting their fourth double-digit comeback victory of the season at the sturdy hands.
Number four.
Of the 6'4", 260-pound monster I told you guys about yesterday, Zaven Collins, their all-everything linebacker with the pick six to win the game in double overtime.
I couldn't see on that highlight, but, like, was someone's pants on the ground? Did someone get, like, stripped down? I saw that.
Michael Pratt did have a bit of a wardrobe malfunction. The true freshman quarterback for Tulane that threw that interception. He got hit as he throws. The pants got pulled down. He chased after, though, and gave it the old college try.
Yeah, there it is. I saw it in the play.
It was Bam. Unfortunate.
Oh, pants on the ground. Looking like with your pants on the ground. That's one of the favorite
parts. Look at him going after it, though.
He's doing it.
Pants near the ankles. DK, no worries.
DK inspiring everybody.
Yeah, no, that was a fail. We'll call that a failed DK right there. The supreme athlete wearing 23 for Tulsa. The story in this one here. But, Chenea, we got to end on the all-time cute moment of the day. How about this one? Ja Morant had a giraffe at the Memphis Zoo named after him. Ja-raffe. And they got to meet for a beautiful moment on the internet earlier today. Do we have the video of this too? Please tell me we have the video of this. It's so beautiful. It's such a pure moment. I don't know if we have time for it.
Ja-raffe.
Boop.
Is it there? Is it cooking?
I just need the boop on this one. Ja Morant meeting Ja-raffe and booping him on the nose is the cutest moment of my day. It's the cutest moment of any of our days on this. We don't have it. So if I can explain this more, as again, we just go full in on the visual of this. Here we go. Ja Morant meeting the baby giraffe named after him. He was putting it on his Instagram Live, and the zoo worker helping him out there actually coaxed Ja Morant into booping the giraffe on the nose. A baby giraffe that he booped on the nose and said boop on his Instagram Live. Chenea, it was the cutest thing I've seen all week. Oh, we have contact right there.
That's me. It's amazing. And that's cultural. Let me tell you, that's cultural right there. It's like, I don't know if I'm going to do this. I don't know if I'm going to do this. Reach out. I don't know if I can do this. Boop. All right, I'm good. One finger.
A one finger boop to take you into your
Wait,
weekend.
Can we talk about how he said Ja Rule almost
Ja Rule almost came out of my mouth.
Finish the show as Ja Rule right now.
I am. That is our next verse is coming up. Me as Ja Rule versus the actual Ja Rule. My voice is far too hoarse to make that happen. Coming off that call, this runaway train may have finally skidded off the tracks in the last hour here.
We love y'all.
We love y'all. We'll try our best next time. Spain and Fitz are coming up next. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe. And if we wouldn't do it, don't do it either.
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.